Would you mind answering a few questions out loud? To be sure, I can't hear you, but if you don't mind, please consider these questions. First, is it wrong to commit murder? Second, do you consider rape a sin? What about immorality? Suppose your home was burglarized. Would you consider this an injustice? Is lying evil? What about incest or child molesting? Is that sinful? Just one more. Do you consider immorality, homosexuality, as a sin? The Bible warns us in the language of Jesus and his disciples that the last days will be very perilous times. Many years ago, the prophet Isaiah issued a warning that we need to heed today. In Isaiah 5 and 20, he said, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Today we're living in those perilous times when evil men are calling good evil and evil good. Specifically, reference is being made to the diabolical attack upon the home and the family, especially as it relates to the subject of homosexuality, those who more commonly are referred to as queers. It grieves me to have to mention this subject, yet as we give honest attention to the Word of God, we must deal with it in that light. From Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, we read, "Male and female made he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply." And verse 31, "God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Please note, in the beginning, God made male and female, not male and male, not female and female, not male for male or female for female. Additionally, in Genesis 2, there is more light shed upon this subject. "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet, a help suitable for him. God made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Then in 3:20, Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why didn't he call her Charlie or George or John Henry? Because she was a woman. She was a helpmate that was suitable to him, a female, not a male. Our all-wise God knew what man needed, and he provided him just that. Praise God. He met Adam's need, and he still meets the needs of Adam's fallen children today. Male and female made he them. However, these same early chapters of Genesis tell us of the temptations, sin, and fall of Adam and his bride. From that point, it was downhill all the way. In fact, in Romans 5 and 12, Paul tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." From that day to this, man ever wallows and sinks down into the filthy pigsty of sin and total moral depravity. The prophet Isaiah recognized it when he said from his first chapter of the inspired scriptures, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores." Countless other passages of scripture teach the same. But first, let's look at the evidence in the lives of those who followed Adam and Eve. In Genesis 19, the men of Sodom wanted Lot's two male visitors that they might perform acts of sexual perversion with them. Lot offered them his two virgin daughters, but the perverted minds of these debased men rejected the two young girls and demanded the two angelic visitors. Remember what God's thoughts were concerning Sodom? The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the inhabitants of the cities. Time would fail us to tell of the many writers that refer to this incident throughout the scriptures, even to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who confirmed it in Luke 17:29, when he said, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Countless other scriptures deal with the general sin of immorality, and specifically with the sin of homosexuality. In Leviticus 18:22, we read, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." More emphatically, it is condemned in Leviticus 20, where we read, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. their blood shall be upon them. In Isaiah chapter 3, we read about the sin like Adam. And it goes on to say, woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah speaks of the punishment of the sin of Sodom. In Amos 4, we read that God overthrew Sodom. And then he adds, prepare to meet thy God. Up to this point, the thrust of what has been said is from the Old Testament. But let's press on. There are those today who accuse Anita Bryant and others who take issue with this diabolical sin as being intolerant. May I direct your attention to the position taken by the Apostle Paul? It wasn't that he was intolerant to the sinner. He poured out his life for them that they might be saved. But as to the sin, this sin or any sin in general, Paul knew that it was just that, sin, which put his Savior on the cross. And thus he spoke with clarity, with deliberateness, with authority in dealing with today's subject. In Romans 1:26, we read, because of this God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with envy, with every kind of evil, with greed and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. If that isn't enough, Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, don't you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders will inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you ever let anyone tell you it's just another lifestyle. Go out and do your own thing. It's a lie of the highest order, or more aptly, a lie from the lowest realm of the pit of hell itself. In 1 Timothy 1, we read of the group that is classified with the homosexuals. Personally, I can't call them gays, because they're the very opposite of what it is to be gay. They're searching for peace and joy and satisfaction. But in so doing, in the way they're searching for it, they're plunging in the opposite direction from Almighty God, who is the true source of peace and joy and gaiety. Timothy says, the law is made for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts. Even Peter, 2 Peter 2:6, tells us that God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them, please note, an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Jude also says that they gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion, and they serve as an example to those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In Revelation 21:9, we read that the sexually immoral and many others will have their place in the eternal burnings of the lake of fire. Friend, you can call sin by any name you want. It is still sin in God's sight and estimation, and sin must be dealt with and punished. Take your choice. Live in sin and die in sin and go to hell, or turn in repentant faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore your sin at Calvary, and he will forgive and cleanse and make of you a new person in Christ. Therefore, if any man, if any woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He did it for some of the Corinthians, for in reference to their immorality and even to their perversion, Paul said, and such were some of you. Notice, were, not are. Whatever your problem, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet your every need and deliver you from your moral or immoral enslavement. In closing, let's notice several things. First of all, God is immutable. That is, he does not change. His standards do not diminish. The story is told of some men who were ridiculing a young fellow who had recently become a Christian. They asked him in mockery, hey, how's Jesus today? They were stunned when he replied, quite well, thank you. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so it is. The world can call the Bible archaic, outdated, irrelevant. But friend, God's high standards are like he is, unchanged and unchangeable. To the contrary, man's standards go up and down with the tide. Today he's calling evil good and good evil. In effect, the debased man of the world is telling us that those who are not homosexuals, those who are not perverts, they're the queer ones. That is, if you're not a sexually pervert one, you're the oddball. Everyone is doing it, they say. That is, everyone but you. Listen, friend, don't believe it. That's the devil's lie. It's just that these folks are the ones who are getting all the attention. Just remember how God describes them in 1 Timothy and other places. He uses the words depraved, perverts, deceived, sinful, evil. And remember, too, their eternal destination. If they die in their sins without Christ, we've already pointed out that the wrath of God is their eternal portion. Then we have been accused of being intolerant of those who choose this lifestyle, as they call it. Let me tell you, there is tolerance. There's tolerance on the part of God, for we read that He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. You see, friend, God so loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that in spite of your sin, in spite of your rebellion and opposition to God, He allowed His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear your sin in His own body. Even what God calls the perverse sins that are such an abomination to Him, Jesus died for those sins too. Jesus Christ, the sinless one, became sin on the cross, dying that you and I might be forgiven of every sin, that we might flee the wrath to come by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want relief? The resurrected Christ offers it to you. He offers it as a free gift. He says in John's Gospel that as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And then from the first epistle we read, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. And those perverse ones, those sinful ones, those rebellious ones that have not Christ, they have not life. And He says, I've written these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, so you can know that you have eternal life. And then Amos tells us in his 4th chapter, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord God of hosts shall be with you. Hate the evil and love the good. Yes, friend, there is a life choice, a lifestyle, and we trust that your lifestyle will be to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Either choose Christ or your sin, your lifestyle, and its eternal consequences. We pray that your choice for a lasting and satisfying lifestyle will be to choose Christ today, for man, He gives real joy. If you would like a copy of today's message, give us a call or write us in care of this station. And then, too, we'd like to let you know that in the will of the Lord, beginning the first Sunday in December, that'll be December the 2nd at the Gospel Chapel, we will begin a 4-Sunday series on the Christian home and family. As you have just heard from the many scriptures plus the conditions of the world today, Satan is attempting to erode the family, to destroy it. Well, God gave the family before He gave the law and before the church was ever established. And we're committed to the Christian home, to the Christian family. And so if you'd like information, help, we invite you to visit with us at the Gospel Chapel. And especially remember that beginning on the first Sunday in December, we will have a 4-Sunday series on the Christian home and family. Call us if we can be of any help. And may the Lord richly bless you today for His name's sake. Amen.